You're listening to the RDF Podcast.
Brought to you by Restoring the Faith Media. RestoringTheFaith.com.
The anti-religion has become its own thing. It has its own sacraments and sacramentals. It has its own evangelical spirit, theology, hierarchy. Today we're joined by a very special guest. Father Dave Nix joins us from the Mountain Region. And we're going to break down the theology of the anti-religion and how it is a demonic reinterpretation, a flipping of its head on the true religion. In order to pique your appetite for it, though, in order to set the stage, here's exactly what we're talking about. What's going on with these weird dances? Father Dave Nix joining us from Colorado. Thank you so much for joining. This is the first time on Restoring the Faith. It's an honor to have you.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Good to be here tonight.
We're talking about a heavy topic tonight, and we're going to have to be snappy because you keep a pretty rigid schedule, and so I want to get right into it. We are discussing the anti-religion, the Rovid religion. We're going to call it Rovid tonight to avoid some of the keywords. And we're going to do our best to get past our technocratic overlords. It's like living, like as you said, off air in communist China with Big Brother trying to control our language and what we say. But let me, if you'll permit me, Father, I want to lay this out to you as I've been thinking about it. And I want you to correct me as I've been watching this whole thing unfold with the weird dancing clergy, which I think is part of the liturgy of the anti-church, alongside the 6 feet apart. They've got their sacramentals, which is the face covering designed to mask the magnificence of your human face created in the image of God. The hand sanitizer is their new sacramental as well. It substitutes out for holy water. I think you can go line by line. You know, the experimental gene therapy is their sacrament. It's of baptism. It's derived from their high sacrament of abortion, which is their Eucharist. I think there's a linkage. I think they're mocking us. I think Satan is mocking us, and unfortunately, so many people have fallen into it. At the outset, am I crazy?
No, why don't I start with probably the only positive thing I'm going to say about those following this new religion, and it's essentially that people were made for obedience and ritual. So you got to give that to them, right? Man was made for obedience and ritual, and when there isn't someone to follow and ritual to follow, you know the old phrase, nature abhors a vacuum, supernature abhors a vacuum also. What's funny about this is if you think about what most secularists accuse Catholics of in the Middle Ages, if you go to a regular university, sadly even Catholic universities, how do they describe medieval Catholics? Well, they say, you had infallible priests. Everybody thought that they were infallible. There was an unquestionable dogma. There was brainwashing. There was trials of heresy. There was great coercion from the top down. And there was this obsession with spiritual cleanliness. So if you took a religious studies class at, say, University of California, UC system or whatever, you'd hear a lot of these different accusations. What we see in the new religion is exactly that. Physicians are the new infallible priests. There's an unquestionable dogma. The brainwashing we see every day. Trials of heresy. I need say little more than that, since probably most of your listeners see constant trials of heresy of anybody who questions the numbers. And then, of course, we see coercion. I think you and I decided on the term death injection. Here in Colorado, they have certain deals. If you get it, one of them is you get free pot, and another one is lotto tickets. So if you get,
are you kidding me? They're giving you free pot?
Free pot and lotto tickets.
If you, gosh, if
you take it, yeah. And then, of course, people, in these days of great violations of the sixth and ninth commandment, they make fun of the Middle Ages of people being obsessed with cleanliness. So, you know, Mark said, accuse them of what you're doing. Accuse them of what you're doing. And that's just out of the playbook of Marxism right there, that this new religion is truly unforgiving on their dogma.
There's no salvation outside of the Rovid religion. They really do stick to that. There is no dissent. You mentioned the heresy trials. What's interesting too, I think, as we continue to draw the parallels between the anti-religion and the true religion, is the omnipresence of this little virus, which is supposedly so lethal. It seems to be everywhere. You know, you see people walking outside in a sunny day in the middle of a sidewalk with no one around, and they are clinging to their sacramental, which signals virtue to everyone who might possibly see them, and it's as if they're afraid that this virus is lurking everywhere. It's omnipresent, and it might get them. Just walking down the road as they're walking their dogs, because a lot of them are dog moms and aren't reproducing anyway. The other thing is that the jab is sort of like their baptism, because they are stained with the original sin of having an immune system, and they need to remove the fact that they have an immune system and take this experimental gene therapy, and then they are part of the physician's church, as you said, the sacrament is administered by their priest. So I think, you know, we can and will keep going, but I'm starting to think that this is not random. I don't know what your thoughts are on just that aspect of it.
Yeah, I want to give a quote from Archbishop Vigano on that topic. I like how we're going to call it Rovid, but he says, quote, instead of the purifying laver of baptism, the Rovid religion proposes the, we'll say, injection, the bearer of disabilities and death. He's talking about the injection, right? Not the disease, as the only means of salvation. So let me pause real quick. What he's saying right there is the Rovid solution is the only means of salvation. Of course, that's a play on the words, how we used to say as Catholics, we still do, people like you and me, there's no salvation outside the church, and baptism is necessary of salvation. So he's poking fun at that by saying this is the only way of salvation against Rovid. And he says, instead of faith in the revelation of God, we find superstition and the irrational assent to precepts that have nothing scientific about them, with rites and liturgies that mimic true religion in a sacrilegious parody. So I love how you called tonight, what did you call tonight? The Rovid anti-religion or something?
Yes, the anti-religion.
Called it, you know, that. But religion actually means it's rooted by its very title. And so it's actually a superstition more than a religion. I know you don't disagree with me on that. I'm glad you called it religion in the show title, but essentially what we're dealing with is not a religion, but a superstition, because a superstition has neither religion nor science. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people out there that would say, okay, those traditional Catholics, they have their super strong beliefs, but at least we have science. Mm-hmm. As you and I know, they don't have the science. And the way I define superstition is that which falls between religion and science. If you don't have religion or science, you only have superstition. And I think because we've had, say, 50 years of accepting abortion, how anti-scientific do you have to be to believe it's okay to put a scissors in the back of a baby's head and call that science? These people have rejected science for 50 years, and they've rejected religion. So what's the only thing left when you've rejected science and religion? It's superstition. Superstition in Latin means stands above. Ironically, superstition believes that it stands above both science and religion, but it's actually in this valley between those two mountains that gel perfectly. So what are the marks of superstition? These are the things that we really see in this worldwide superstition now. I mean, this is what's amazing. I think too many of the trad listeners think that of this stuff in the United States. We've never seen communism take over the whole world, not even Marx, Lenin, Mao. What's amazing is you can't go anywhere without this. The one place that looked like it was going to buck the system, it was a Catholic president in, was it Zaire? Not Zaire. It was Zimbabwe, right?
Yes.
Zimbabwe. He said he was a Catholic. He said, we're going to trust in God. We're not going to go with the muzzles, with the death injections. The bishops apparently were very much against this. And then he was found dead 2 weeks later. I don't think that was due to the bishops, but it's just suspicious. He was found dead 2 weeks later after being the only person that was going to provide a safe haven from this worldwide communistic superstition.
Right. Yeah, I've seen some interactions, and some people can get testy on Twitter. You've been accused of being a conspiracy theorist. But by the way, I managed to make it through 35 plus years of life without ever being once called a conspiracy theorist. But in 2020 and 2021, that's all I get called these days. a quick review of publicly available facts that even the mainstream media now admits. In 2017, Dr. Fauci said that President Trump will almost certainly be tested by a pandemic. And he even said at the time he thought that it would be one of a respiratory variety. Fauci was involved with the organizations which funded the labs in China, from which now the mainstream media today, May 29th, 2021, on Ember Saturday, are willing to concede, and the U.S. government is now looking into the fact that maybe this thing was released from that very same lab which the U.S. government funded. And Operation Warp Speed, which has cost the U.S. taxpayer now something like $100 billion, has included things. You brought up abortion and how you can't possibly believe in science if you believe in abortion or if you accept it. Imagine taking the scalps of aborted babies and grafting them to mice, creating humanized mice as part of your tests. And those cell lines were involved with not only Operation Warp Speed, but ultimately these experimental gene therapies that that they use, a V word, that they're really just not that. So conspiracy theorists, I guess maybe if that is a term that applies to us in a way to discredit or smear us, I gladly accept the title, but I just can't look at the fact pattern, Father Dave Nix joining from Colorado, and think that it's totally random or that it's not something that was pre-planned, preordained, and thrust upon the world.
And Mike, when you mentioned those baby scalps being put on rats, I don't mean to source or footnote your own show, but for your listeners, you can go to my Twitter, probably your Twitter too, if you retweeted this. This was David Daladine talking to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson admitted this almost sounded too outrageous for him even to show, but they did actually air that because there's this evidence of, I think it was NSAID, Fauci's group funding this stuff, things that would make Nazi Germany blush, that is happening here. You know, and this stuff is tied to it. I'm going to say something that sounds kind of backwater fundamentalist, but do you really think God's going to bless science that comes from scalps of babies? You know, people could say, well, God can bring good out of evil. Yeah, but, you know, I don't want you to get booted for efficacy, but I saw that the PFV, we'll just call it that, death injection has a 0.86% efficacy. Pretty outrageous.
Well, and one of the videos that I really had wanted to load, but I just didn't get a chance to, was this, and forgive me if I'm putting you on the spot here, but there's a video of the chairman of the pro-life activities of the USCCB, Bishop Joseph Naumann of Kansas City, Kansas. And he's injecting himself, or receiving the injection from one of the high priests of the COVID religion. He's then wearing his badge of honor, which is sort of like the when you wear the Band-Aid and you sport the Band-Aid. Some people even tattoo the Band-Aid on their arms. It's kind of like the ashes that you would wear on Ash Wednesday, you know, as an outward sign that you are a participant in the COVID religion. And then he stands up and he says in this video that he published on his own YouTube channel, he says, it's safe and effective. It's safe and effective. He says it 100 times. We've heard it now that in Chicago, you can't even go to mass with your bearing your natural God-given face to Almighty God without showing your papers. You've got to show your papers. I think it's only a matter of time before you have to show your papers to even get in to the place in some places. And so I look at it and I just say, how can the people who are supposed to guard these babies from being scalped and their heads grafted onto mice, how is the one person in the Catholic Church in the U.S. Who's supposed to guard against that taking the abortion-tainted experimental gene therapy, injecting it into himself proudly, and then stepping outside of his competency and declaring with really moral coercion that they are safe and effective.
Well, I never saw that video of that bishop, so I don't think I can comment on him, but just to have a panoptic of modernism, I think one reason secular Catholics or modernist Catholics have taken this hook, line, and sinker is, if you remember at the beginning of the show, I talked about ritual and obedience. Mm. And modernism has trashed so much ritual and obedience. Obedience has really been taken place, or personal conscience has taken the place of obedience. And Protestantism has taken the place of the traditional Catholic rituals, not just in the Mass, but in the other six sacraments also. Mm-hmm. So I think we were perfectly set up through modernism as Catholics in the United States, really all over the world, since modernism's taken over the whole world, to be hungry for all of these extra sacramentals, the face muzzle, listening closely to someone. You know, obviously when times are tough, people get desperate and want to listen to the government giving them rules. But this taps a deep desire of religion. And so I think one reason modernist Catholics have fallen so hard for this new superstition is because we've trashed our own rights in the mm-hmm. Catholic Church. We injected Protestantism into all these rites. We told people ritual doesn't matter as long as your heart's in the right place for Jesus. Uh-huh. And I mean, should your heart be in the right place for Jesus before you do ritual? Of course. You and I would, of course, say that 1,000 times. But when you hear that these are opposed, as many modernist Catholics, Jesus only cares about your heart, not if you have a veil on at Mass or if you have yoga pants on at hand. Jesus just cares about your heart. But deep inside in your heart, you know these rituals matter. You're going to take it hook, line, and sinker when someone with authority tells you, hey, you're going to save lives if you put on the face muzzle.
Yeah, right. And there's something potent about the weaponization of fear, too. I mean, here we are, you and I, in the United States of America, supposedly the land of the free and home of the brave. We're having a discussion with each other through the magnificent gift of technology. It's a miracle that we can see and hear each other right now. But we don't have the freedom to actually say what we would like to say. We have to use code words, brevity. There are certain things that we're not allowed to say. And it's not because the government doesn't allow us to say it. It's because, you know, the technocrats who run everything won't allow us to say it. You were talking off air about, you know, about a story you wanted to get to with respect to Mao in China. I'd like to tee that up at this point, but just, you know, I think that if Fidel Castro could observe what was achieved in the United States in little more than 1 year, or if Stalin, or if any of the despots throughout history could see what was achieved merely by this chastisement, I think that they would envy and they would blush even at the level, the power grabs and the revolution that has happened here in a totally bloodless way.
Yes. I read a book recently called Blood Letters. It's the story of a girl named Lin Zhao, who was born in China in around 1930. She went to a Methodist American school in China run by Protestant missionaries there. And she became a relatively good Christian. But then when she went to college, she decided the communists were helping the poor a lot more than her Methodist high school teachers. So she trashed Christianity and became a super hardcore communist, took it entirely to the max in uh-huh. everything. And then once she started seeing how many people were being killed by Mao's regime, she returned to Christianity. And she became probably the single loudest, most courageous voice against Mao Zedong and his regime. They call the book Blood Letters because she wrote thousands of letters in her own blood from China, from a prison in China, till they finally got so sick of her in 1966. She was in her 30s and they finally executed her. So many people go to her grave now as a pilgrimage that they have to guard her tomb every year. The communists have to guard her tomb every year because of how many people who want freedom in China go there. One of the things, this book was written by evangelicals, but one of the things that struck me is it was not anti-Catholic. They talk about when she showed up in this one town, there was a Chinese priest, Chinese Catholic priest, and he was just fearless in front of these communists. And obviously some people cracked, but many Catholics to this day stayed extremely strong. But one of the things, Mike, that hit me reading this book was how much religion Mao peppered into the brains of the people. One of the things I noticed in this whole thing was moral purification. This was a repeated project of Mao Zedong and the Chinese rebellion is moral purification. It wasn't put in the sense of this is all just for economic stuff. There was a lot of virtue signaling. We have to help the poor. Of course, that's who died the most was the poor. But it was a moral purification for the whole country. There was even repentance. There was public confessions like the church had in the Catholic Church in the first 600 years. There was great group meaning was a huge part of it. I mean, if you look at the face muzzle, this is a great reflection of Mao's China, that he really won everybody on group meaning. And a huge part of it was national salvation. This was really big for everyone after these 19th century foreign invasions. You know, China was pretty embarrassed after these 19th century foreign invasions. And so they were really able to get people on this national salvation. And that's what I see with the face muzzle and all this stuff is like, people have so much guilt for so much contraception and abortion. The notion they can save lives, they're just going to jump at that opportunity in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
By taking the death injection, by putting on the mask. This is how we save lives. You know, even after their oral contraceptive pill has killed hundreds of their own children. I don't mean the morning after pill, just the normal oral contraceptive that so many women are on that kills millions of kids a year. Wouldn't you want to grasp for straws of saving lives after that?
Yeah, I mean, and on the subject of communism, one of the things that they, in order to implement it, that they have to do is they have to break you down psychologically. They have to disconnect your senses, and we're supposed to live in objective reality through experiencing our reality through our senses. They want us to distrust our sense. This is why they'll stand in front of a burning building and say the protests are mostly peaceful. This is why they'll tell you that that a virus is so many microns, but a cloth covering over your face will protect you from 3 microns. This is why they'll tell you that we no longer count the number of the lethality rate of this or that particular chastisement, but it becomes a case demic, and the more we test, the more we find it. And if we can do 30 cycles or 60 cycles or 100 cycles on the PCR test, however many cycles we have to do to find evidence and positive cases, I think there's something to the implementation of communism requiring this cognitive dissonance and breaking down your brain, mistrust your senses, and just literally accept lies as being true.
That's right. I'm not saying his name right. Yuri Bezmann, is that how you say it?
He's got
those four steps on this topic you're talking about. The first is demoralization, and that comes at the price of shaming the few people that would swim upstream. Have we seen that? Of course we've seen that. So step one is demoralization. Two is dehumanization. I like how you repeatedly say, our faces are made in God's image and likeness. This is the particularization of our image and likeness before God. And as all your listeners know, Satan can't get to attack God, so he wants to attack the next closest thing, which is the human person made in his image and likeness. And by covering the face, the thing that makes us most in God's image and likeness is our intellect and will, but physically it's our face next to our intellect and will. So if Satan can't cover the face of God, he's going to want to cover the face of those who are made in God's image and likeness. So this takes care of number two, dehumanization. Three is crisis. And the funny thing about crisis is this is real or imagined. And this is what we see in Mao's China and in Russia. Like, was there an economic problem? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is Rovid real? Yes. But Satan likes to take this 1% truth and blow it up into our faces. And then if you question it, then Satan's minions can say, oh, see, you're denying there's any economic problems in Russia in the 19th century. You're denying that my uncle did really die of Rovid. No, I'm not denying it. I'm having a problem with turning a molehill into a mountain. And this is where this crisis just gets taken out of control. Because it's not just virtue signaling. People are actually still afraid of this thing. And then there's the promise of normalization. This is what we keep hearing is the new normal. And I don't know what the next step is, because people are taking off the face muzzles. And I don't know if people like Fauci are backing down because they have another plan or because conservatives stand any chance at winning this. What do you think?
Well, I think it's neither. I think it's part of Stockholm syndrome, Father. I think in order to make the captives, you know, fall in love with the captors, they randomly have to demonstrate mercy, interspersed with their severe justice. So I think there's something like that going on. There's chatter amongst the elite liberal and cabal, you know, type communities that they were headed into another black winter, dark fall. They keep talking about the variants and how bad they are and how they're just around the corner. So I think when the experimental gene therapy is proven to be totally ineffective, they're going to have the perfect scapegoat, namely you and I and people who are rigidly traditional who did not participate in that sacrament. And they're going to blame us for the variants and their spread. So I think it's all part of their plan, frankly.
Yeah, I agree. I made a little list of the things that I noticed. I first got started on this by it's named Dave Cullen, the guy who got kicked off YT. He's got a really great thing. He got me going on this. But think about it. What are the rituals? The hand sanitizer, the face muzzle, the death injection, repentance. We have all this stuff on repentance, not just on race, but you know, if you come too close to somebody, or someone comes too close to you, they might back up and be like, I'm sorry. Like that's a public repentance for endangering your health right there. Most religions have ritual cleansing. Dave Cullen was the first to point that out. Obviously we have insane amounts of ritual cleansing now. I think to go into a Muslim mosque, you have to wash before going in. Obviously in Judaism, that's the case. Should be the case in Catholicism with confession. Doctrine, we are inundated with the doctrine of the rovid religion. It's nonstop on things like CNN. Trials of heresy. I remember a year ago when they had these two doctors from Los Angeles start to question the numbers, and these guys got flayed alive online for questioning the narrative.
That's right. Those doctors in Ventura County, I remember that well. They lost their medical license, I think.
I wouldn't doubt it. And then, you know, people say, well, priests were seen as infallible in the Middle Ages. That's just not true at all. There was, you and I were talking off the air about Thomas Wood's book, how the Catholic Church built Western civilization. And it's amazing how much debate happened in the University of Paris in the 12th century. That was the pinnacle of where all the Dominicans and Franciscans were teaching. And they allowed debate on speculative theology, not real dogma that's been defined, but on speculative theology, they could debate till the cows came home. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you are not allowed to speak outside of the doctrine of the rovid religion. And the priests, the new priests are the doctors, but only the doctors that are paid this obscene amount of money to keep these shamans going, you know?
Right.
Coercion wasn't really part of the Catholic faith. Even if you look at the Inquisition, it was usually people under double jeopardy tried who were turned out to be fake converts from Judaism or Muslim, Islam to Catholicism. The church has always rejected coercion to their beliefs. But as I said earlier, I mean, lotto tickets and marijuana to get the death injection, that's total coercion, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so this list just goes on and on and on that this is truly a superstition that has taken the mind of at least 60% of the entire globe, maybe 90% of the whole globe has taken this new superstition to heart.
Just on debate, and then I have a question about the birth of coronavirus, but just on debate, even when de Tocqueville visited the United States and famously wrote about how different, you know, this American experiment was from the rest of Europe, one of the things that he noted was there is no free thought here. There is no dissent from sort of what the mainstream thinking is here. You had much more freedom of thinking in Europe. We delude ourselves, I think, and we are told, and we are told by our public school teacher masters who used to be part of the communion of saints, but now it's dancing nurses, that you know, we live in a free country and that we have freedom of expression and freedom of thought, but we really don't.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend. She was born in Vietnam and now lives in the United States. And we were talking about how the rest of the world has responded to this rovid superstition. And she said, yeah, all the people in the giant Asian cities have the face muzzle and getting the death injection, but they know it's all garbage. They know all this is fake. And I said, well, why are they doing it? And she said, because you have to, in these large Asian cities, after this many years of communism, you learn the only way to get along is to go along, or go along is to get along.
Yeah.
And so what's so funny about what she admitted about, and again, she was born in Vietnam, she was admitting that all the Asians know this is all BS, but in the United States, we're still sold on this because communism's new to us. Isn't that hilarious? That so it ties into exactly what you said on de Tocqueville, is we're unable to think outside of the box, that it's really all about popularity here in the United States, where the countries that have lived through communism, they know it's a sham. This robot stuff is a sham, but they got to play with the globalists if they're going to put food on their kids' table.
Right.
Here, people are genuinely afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I meet those people all the time, and it's kind of jarring. Like, wow, you exist. In fact, a prominent Catholic on Twitter just today just said that, you know, one of his kids was exposed and he's really afraid. And I'm just like, wow, I can't believe anyone is afraid.
Yeah, especially at that age. I mean, at that age, you have 0.00001% chance of dying as a child of this Rovid thing.
Right. Yeah, I think in most states in the United States, there hasn't been a single fatality of a child attributable to it, and not for want of trying to attribute it.
Right.
The birth of the coronavirus. I think this is a doozy. I didn't tell you about this in show prep because I didn't do any show prep with you, Father, because I'm remiss. So I apologize.
No, we're on the fly. This is good.
I look at the birth of coronavirus, and I look at a long timeline. And I start to detect a pattern, so I want to lay it out to you. First, you have the Abu Dhabi thing. Then after that, you have the fire in Notre Dame and the Cranmer table being absolutely destroyed. Then you have the veneration of the Pachamama idol in Rome. And then you have the exorcists around the world, including, I'm sure, ones that you and I both mutually know, who are urging people to fast and pray on December 6th, the Feast of St. Nicholas, which is traditionally in families a day of joy, but to fast and pray on those days and to wear ashes and sackcloth because something bad is about to happen to the world. And then just a month or two later, we start to see it in the headlines. Now, I looked at two things that I want to reveal. I've said it on YouTube before, but it's been a long time, and the channel has doubled since I've said it. So a lot of people have not heard this, I don't think. The first part of this analysis that I've looked at is virologists and mathematicians have performed regression analysis based on the standard doubling of viruses every, whatever it is, 6.8 days, and they have actually found that the birthday, so-called, of the virus is the same exact day of the veneration of the Pachamama idols in Rome in October of 2019.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then when you look at what I dubbed Black Sunday, which is in March of 2020, which was when all churches around the world and in the United States were closed, there wasn't a single public mass in the whole country, and subsequently there weren't any Novus Ordo masses because they don't offer those privately. That was that particular Sunday, Black Sunday, I found out was 50 years to the day, liturgically speaking, 50 years, the jubilee year of the forced implementation of the new mass. So the document that came out after Advent of 1969 is when it was introduced, but it was March of 1970. March of 1970, 50 years to the day, the Jubilee year, and the Mass was canceled by Almighty God. So am I crazy for looking at these patterns, for saying, you know, so goes the church, so goes the world?
I agree. I think it was Father Wolf that said, all graces and errors flow from the altar. So if we allowed the church to be infiltrated and we sold out for Freemasonry, we really can't hold governments responsible for following our pattern. I mean, if you look at the very term Novus Ordo, that means new order. Mm-hmm. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of New World Order. Mm-hmm. Can we really criticize a New World Order while promoting our own New Order in the church, right? So we've taken this stuff hook, line, and sinker before anybody else. I agree with most of what you're saying, but we have to remember the law, and I don't think you disagree with this, so this isn't even very strong pushback. Mm-hmm. More people have died of suicide in the lockdown than the actual Rovid itself, right? So we have to remember a lot of this punishment is simply our own stupidity. It's not like God has sent the black plague on the earth again and there's just piles and piles of people in the gutter outside of my hermitage here. Mm-hmm. The punishment is our stupidity. For, as I said in the beginning, supernature abhors a vacuum. And if we don't have anything of faith to hold on to, we're going to hold on to this superstition that there's just this, you know, wild thing out there that is just creeping and killing half the world. This is truly a deceit of the whole world more than it is a worldwide pandemic. Mm-hmm. And this is where, not to sound like super neocon non-trad, but we've cooked our own goose. It wasn't even... I mean, in some sense, it's God's punishment, but in another sense, it's like we've done this to ourselves by believing people like Gates and Fauci and these other people. They're the ones that we've all believed we have to lock down. I mean, Gates, who has said he's going to use health reproduction and vaccines to hopefully kill a billion or reduce the population by a billion people. This is the guy who has no medical degree, who we're listening to, who wants to kill us on this stuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't even sound like a punishment from God. That just sounds like a punishment of stupidity to me.
I mean, you know, back to getting regularly called a conspiracy theorist all of a sudden out of the blue in 2020, when, again, I've never before been accused of such a thing. All I've been doing is reading what the World Economic Forum publishes yes. on their website of what they would like to do. They exactly. want us to live in pods and eat bugs and social distance and learn to code and order our food and have zero interaction with people and be totally divorced from God's creation. That's what they want from us. And you're right, when Gates does explicitly link injections of an experimental nature to Malthusian philosophy, I have to take him at his word that that's what he's trying to do. I mean, I have to assume that the man is just literally telling us in the open what his plans are.
Yeah, and you mentioned conspiracy theorists. I mean, 6 months ago, anybody that said that this virus came from a lab in Wuhan was either, get this, either a conspiracy theorist or a racist against Asian people, right? Who just admitted we have to now investigate if this is not man-made? Fauci and Joe Biden, right? So yesterday's conspiracy theory is today's vigilance, right? In fact, I told my buddy who lives here in Colorado, he's also a Marine like you, right before we started recording what we were going to talk about. And he goes, Padre, can you name one thing the past year you and I were wrong about in everything we predicted about this hype a year ago? I said, no, we really were. And I don't mean to get on your show and be like, pat myself on the back, but yeah. Traditional Catholics. I mean, I was afraid for 2 weeks. I thought this was going big for 2 weeks. I had to apologize to everybody on Twitter, Facebook, blog, because I was like prepping everybody for the Black Plague. And then when I looked and I realized, no, this is more communism than medical, 99% of my followers were very forgiving. And yeah. then I started just connecting all the dots. I said, this is health communism, you know? But mm-hmm. once I had woken up to the real reality, late March, early April, what was happening, once I connected the dots, I mean, not to pat you and me on the back, but we've been right about everything. So if we were conspiracy theories about this being made in a Wuhan lab, and now Fauci's admitting it, guess what, liberals out there, if Mike has any liberals listening, you better start looking at everything you said was conspiracy, because the dominoes are just going to start to fall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty scary stuff. And the people that you would expect to be holding the line. And this is my second to last question. My last point will just be about practical things that we can do. But this is the last kind of meaty question, and it relates to the response of the church. They totally cowered. They shut down. They abandoned the flock. They did the opposite of what they did during the Black Plague, in which, you know, Charles Borromeo was bringing the sacraments to the streets, to the people. They all ran and hid. They were afraid of liability. Within the chanceries, you had the lawyers and the accountants running the show, telling the bishops they had to shut down or they would face all kinds of liability. Nowadays, that very same church, that very same grouping of well, I call them spineless, but you don't have to agree with that, of those shepherds are speaking about the morality now, the morality of an experimental gene therapy, which they admit does not prevent you from contracting, does not prevent you from spreading. The only thing that it does potentially is lessen the symptoms. Now, there are alternative treatments, but those are still labeled as conspiracies if you seek those alternative treatments, which are not derived from the high sacrament of the left of abortion. Our church has capitulated, and the bloodless communist revolution that we've witnessed in the last year, Father, the one people who could stand up to it abdicated.
Yeah, I think it was, if anyone's listening to this show in the future, I think we're in May of 2021. It was about 2 months ago, so it must have been February, March, maybe April. I think it was March of 2021. Dr. Taylor Marshall had a show that was linking the closed churches to the Paycheck Protection Program, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that the government gave. And so what he essentially links, I can't remember if he does it directly or indirectly on his show. It's basically what I've been thinking for a while. So I was really surprised he brought it to light as not just correlation, but he at least implies causality. The Paycheck Protection Program was payment to keep the churches closed because there was no longer any impetus for that. And, you know, not to inject theology and everything, but if you really think everyone's saved, then the sacrament is just gravy. It's just dressing. So if you get $4 million from the Paycheck Protection Program to keep the churches closed, and the lawyers come to you and say, hey, guess what? If someone dies of coronavirus and you're the one bishop in the nation in the world that kept the churches open, they're going to own your churches. And then if you're watching CNN at night in your bishop's place and you're getting brainwashed, well, here you have money, no consequences because the sacraments are just dross. They're not really out to save you. The churches are going to essentially be funded by the PPP, and your lawyers are telling you this is better for your people. All of this describes a total collapse of supernatural faith. But here's the thing. I've been saying this for a while. COVID did not drive people crazy. COVID revealed who was crazy. Right. So, and that's the same in the church.
Well, I think it's true of the experimental gene therapy too, because you have otherwise really fantastic, let's say, historians who write incredible books, and I'm talking about De Mattei right now, who then find themselves on the absolute wrong side of the experimental gene therapy too. So, if the Rona exposed a bright line between crazy and non-crazy, the line has been pushed, and a lot of people that you would think would be allies, including even some prominent blog sites in the Catholic sphere that used to be trusted, have gone all in on this abortion-derived thing.
Father, we have some odd friends also, like, I hate to say it on your show, but we've been totally outdone by evangelical Christians on standing up against this insanity.
Mm-hmm.
Totally outdone. I mean, there's a family I've talked about on past blog or past podcasts. It's a black family, evangelical, seven kids. And we're always hemming and hawing at the abortion center on Wednesdays, making fun of all the same stuff. I mean, she's more extreme than me as far as being against like Black Lives Matter and the vaccine and stuff like that. And it's like, I have more in common with an evangelical woman on 99% of these issues than most of the bishops of the nation. That's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's inappropriate for sure. On the PPP thing, I think Bloomberg News report first reported in October, and I carried the story at that time that almost $4 billion had traded hands as of that point via the PPP loans. The USCCB and all of its sub-organizations, including each individual parish which applied for it, something like 9,000 different LLCs had applied, and something like 6,500 of those 9,000 had been approved. I characterized it back in October of 2020 as being a bribe, a giant bribe, in exchange for complying with the lockdowns. You saw many of the clerics preemptively closed down before any county level or state level mandates were levied upon them. They voluntarily did that. And I suspect, Father, I can't prove this. I have a hunch. I have a financial background too. I suspect that the episcopacy was anticipating a second round of bailouts, and they didn't get them. And so because that money has dried up, suddenly you see dispensations being lifted all across the land. There are definitely notable exceptions, and I won't actually point those out because I don't want to name names with you here on the show. But I think that's really what's happening. And when you link that to the global communist revolution and the 50th anniversary of the Novus Ordo Missae, you can't help but think that we've just become like the constitutional church of France during the French Revolution, you know, like that the government has literally bought and paid for the entire Catholic Church.
I had three small thoughts onto that. I think that's a lot more profound than anything I'm going to say. But one is, I was looking at an Associated Press article last night, and the two numbers I saw for Paycheck Protection Program to the United States bishops, not just the USCCB, but the diocese, I saw two different numbers, $1.5 billion and $3 billion. So even if you're wrong about the $4 billion, you're probably not. Even Associated Press is throwing around words in the billions with a B, yeah. Not in the millions. It's throwing around, even Associated Press is throwing around terms like that. Second quick thought is there are still some dioceses, I think in like Texas and Florida, that have now still more restrict rules than the state and the governor where they are. Total insanity to me. And then my third little thought is, if you look at which Russian Orthodox clergy sold out and took the peace pact offered them by Stalin, it's a really interesting study of Russian history and Russian Orthodox history. I don't know like percentage of numbers, so I don't want any Russians out there to get mad at me, but I think the majority of the Russian Orthodox collapsed before the deal with Stalin. But the guys who stayed courageous, the bishops, the metropolitans, the priests and lay people who kept their Orthodox faith alive were often tortured and killed. In fact, we've had 70 million martyrs of Christianity in 2000 years, and 45 million of those 70 million have all happened in the past 100 years. So literally most Christian martyrs have died the past 100 years, and most of those have been due to communism. Wow. So there's a lot of heroes who've gone before us. These are the people that would not take the peace pact with Stalin and the other people that really didn't have a price. You know, Judas had a price. It was 30 silver pieces. I'd like to ask any priests and bishops out there, what is your price? What is your price?
Yeah, it's a good question.
I don't have one.
That's what makes you a dangerous man, and why you were named by, what was it, the National Catholic Register? Or no, the other
Reporter,
one.
The National Catholic Reporter.
Yeah, the NCR named you as one of the top 10 most dangerous Catholics online, or most hated,
or
most
annoying. I don't know, one of those. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, because you can't be bought. I want to talk about, just in our last few minutes together, Father, and I'm so grateful that you're here, to talk about maybe some practical things that we can do to oppose this global communist takeover, and or things that we can do to prepare, because I think we both probably think, I won't speak for you, but I think that things are going to get worse. We're not on a terribly good or encouraging glide path. So maybe we can segment it into two buckets of thoughts, spiritual preparation and then practical preparation. Thoughts on either one of those buckets?
So one of the things you said about 30 minutes ago that I thought, I better not say this because I'm sounding too conspiracy theorist, but you came pretty close to it. Now I just have to word it in a way that doesn't get this kicked out. But basically, I think the next round of Rovid is going to wipe out the people who've taken the death injection, and they're going to blame the people that didn't take the death injection. That's what I suspect is the next thing to happen. It's going to be very obvious. The people who are living are those who didn't take it, but guess who's going to get blamed? This is what happens in Nazi Germany. This is what happens in communist government. In fact, I already saw it in a Dave Rubin clip on The View. They were talking to one of the women on The View. I don't watch The View. Probably some of your listeners are mad I even listen to Dave Rubin. But Dave Rubin highlighted this view, and she was complaining that 45% of American evangelicals will not take the death injection. My words, not her, those last two words. Mm-hmm. And so there's already this pigeonholing and societal blaming.
Yep.
Now, I can understand people of Jewish background listening to this would get mad if I said that's the yellow star. But we're already ramping up for social scapegoating of a single religion. I wish it was Catholicism. Isn't that sad? She's blaming evangelicals for being more courageous against this new superstition than Catholics. Mm-hmm. But we need to stand just as strong and more strong than the evangelicals on all of this, because we have the full thermobaric weapons and the fullness of the truth as Catholics. We have the one true Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Even if she's an eclipse, like Vigano says, we need to be the most courageous against this. And even if it does turn out that we're all headed, you know, loaded up to the gulags for not taking the death injection, then we stay joyful about it. And I don't want to say we mock it, but we just have a good sense of humor about it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who claim to love Jesus who are selling out for the new robed superstition. But it hit me today. Very few people who are worshiping Jesus with Mary at their side or worshiping the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Immaculate Heart of Mary are taking all of this superstition hook, line, and sinker. So I think, not to sound super simplistic, but I really believe the key to dissipating all of this diabolical disorientation, what's the opposite of diabolical disorientation? It's an angelic orientation. Who's the queen of all the angels? It's Mary. The Immaculate Virgin Mary is our key in all of this, not to get out of this alive. We all might get hauled off to the gulags. Mary's the key to keep our eyes on Christ so we don't lose our salvation, as there's so much brainwashing in this superstition, so much diabolical disorientation. Mary is the entire key of angelic orientation as we enter whatever the next stage that Fauci and Gates have planned for us. I really think Mary's the key.
Wow. I think that's a superlative answer, Father, and it would be unwise to even wade into practical solutions after something like that, because if you are close to the Immaculate Heart, then I think you're going to be fine. So thank you so much for joining me, Father Dave Nix. How can we find you and support you? I've got your website address and your Twitter handle displayed on the screen right now. Are those the best ways to find you?
Yep. Padre Peregrino started that maybe 6 or 7 years ago. It was just kind of a travel blog, kind of a dorky name. It means Father Pilgrim in English, which sounds ridiculous, but I just never got around to changing it. So it's still what I am at on YouTube and my blog and Apple Podcasts. So if you type in Padre Peregrino, you can find my blog and Apple Podcasts and the YouTube. Main thing I do on YouTube and Apple is I teach an Ignatian mental prayer, which is also a patristic Bible study, and I teach Catechism of Pius the X. So if people are looking how to do a real early church-based Bible study or learn a 19th century catechism, I'd suggest you, it's all free. Everything I do, there's no pop-ups, there's no ads, anything like that. Just go check out VLX, which is Video Lexi Divina, my patristic Bible study and Ignatian mental prayer on Apple Podcasts or YouTube, Padre Peregrino, and then CPX is Catechism of Pius the X. So thanks for promoting that.
And just to press, if somebody wanted to financially support you, Father, how would they do that?
Oh, you know, same website. You can just go to the donate page, and then you got the option for continue to give, which is like, if I get kicked off PayPal, Albert, and then next to it is PayPal. And then there's a snail mail address, and I have a pile of like 6 months of spiritual direction and donations to get back. So any of my own listeners, I'm so sorry. I really plan on getting back to that. There is a snail mail PO box for anybody who wants to donate. So PayPal, continue to give, or snail mail is all on the donate page of www.padreperegrino.org.
I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this conversation, Father. I hope you come back. And on behalf of the entire RTF audience, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mike. God bless you.
You're listening to the RTF podcast.
Brought to you by Restoring the Faith Media. RestoringTheFaith.com.